Take your Bibles now. Let's go to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, as we are continuing our midweek service, going through the book of Psalms. Tonight we want to talk about God's mercy and God's kindness. And that's what this chapter is about. I'm thankful tonight God is a merciful God. And I'm sure you feel the very same way. Chapters 135 and 136 are really twin chapters. They are very much alike. In fact, if you put them side by side, the wording may be a little different, but so many of the things are just alike. In Psalm 135, you have what we dealt with last week, where God was dealing with Israel and showing them the folly of idolatry, the folly of worshiping false gods. Now, in chapter 136, he's going to show them, as far as our looking at part of their history, the wisdom of worshiping the true God, the folly of worshiping false gods, the wisdom of worshiping the one and only true God. Now, in the first three verses, we have the call to thanksgiving. And you'll see that over and over in this. And I think there's a twofold emphasis in it, the goodness of God and the greatness of God. But we look at the goodness of God as he mentions it in verse 1. He says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth," for how long? Say it. Forever. His mercy endureth forever. The theme of this psalm is God's mercy. And 26 times I think that you will find that he mentions the mercy of God. And the mercy of God outshines the sun. The mercy of God outlives the stars. The mercy of God is always going to be around. The goodness of God. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. The greatness of God. He begins to remind us, like he did in chapter 135, of the greatness of God. He talks first of all about his deity in verse 2. He says, "O give thanks unto the God of gods." And then you have the chorus repeated, "For his mercy endureth forever." O give thanks unto the God, capital G, of gods, little g. O give thanks unto Elohim, the God, God over Elohim, the little gods, the big God, the one God, the true God. Give thanks, Elohim of Elohim. Now, to whom is he referring? Well, different theories, I suppose, by Bible scholars, but many conservative Bible scholars believe he's talking about the fallen angels or the demons that are the gods of this world. And Satan and the demons are really in charge of the world system. And so he is saying, "O give thanks unto the God of gods." He is the one who is over any power and all of the powers that might be on the face of the earth, whether they're fallen angels or whatever they may be. One thing we can be sure of, they someday will be cast down. All of those so-called gods and those powers are going to be cast down, and as the psalmist says, his mercy will go on forever. They won't, but his mercy will go on forever. So he says God is great because of his deity. Look who he is. He is the God of gods. And then because of his dominion. Verse 3, "O give thanks to the Lord of lords." Another title. What is he talking about? The Lord of lords. Give thanks unto him. Well, the Hebrew words are Adonim, or Adonim, some would say, of Adonim. In other words, he is the Lord of little lords. Who's he talking about? Probably human rulers. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Lord of anything, anybody that thinks they are royalty or that they are a lord are these human rulers. You know, there have been some cruel human rulers that have been down through the ages in history, the history of the world, and we know it through the Bible. But even in our lifetime, we've seen some of those. And we know that they think they're really rulers, and nobody's going to stop them. Stalin was that way. Hitler was that way. And God says, I want you to know that God is merciful. He is Lord over these guys who thought they were lords. He was Lord over Saddam Hussein, wasn't he? He's in eternity now. And there are so many like that. There are those who think they're in charge today. You have many who are fighting us, and they are cowards. They hide in the mountains, and they strap bombs to little kids, and they think they're something. But I want to tell you, one of these days, they too are going to realize who God really is, that Jesus is Lord of lords. He is Lord of all human power and all human government and all human movements. And I can tell you tonight, in the end, God always wins. In the end, He's always the winner. And we've been praying a long time, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you think God's ever going to answer that prayer? I believe He was planning to answer it. That's why He told us to pray it. And one of these days, He will answer it, and His kingdom will come. Give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. Give thanks unto the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, the one who's in charge of all of these things. And then secondly, we look at the causes of the thanksgiving, all the way through verse 25. About three categories that He mentions here. One of them, He reminds us that the Lord created all things. Now this begins to sound a little bit like chapter 135. The Lord created all things. And so He mentions in verse 4 God's personal uniqueness. Look at it as He says it in verse 4. To Him who, and underscore this word, alone. To Him who alone doeth great wonders. God is the one and the only one who can do the kind of wonders He's talking about right here. I'm amazed at the greatness of God. I'm amazed at the power of God. The absolute perfect one who has omniscience. That is God. The other day a little spider was crawling across my desk. I don't know how that little creature got in there, in one of my books or near one of my books. Just a tiny little thing. It would be like an apostrophe or a dot on a sentence. But I saw it. And I don't like spiders. And so I wanted to kill it. Oh, I know you human rights, your animal rights are mad, you people. But that's what I want to do. As a matter of fact, that's what I did do. But had a little fun with it, and then I put it into spider eternity. But these spiders have 8 legs. Did you know that? And they have 8 eyes. That's why you wonder why they can run this way and this way, and they're watching you. That rascal was watching me. He was thinking, who is that big giant that's after me? It was me. And did you know that that spider had a heart, has a circulatory system, has senses, instincts, genes, and chromosomes? That spider could see, and that spider could eat and make other varmints smaller than it think it was something. That little spider could walk. Explain that to me, dear friend. Try to recreate that, you scientists. You can't do it. You cannot explain any of those things apart from a divine, intelligent, almighty God who made them. And He says that's why God is great, and He alone. And you can think of many illustrations like that. God's personal uniqueness. And then He talks about God's perfect universe in verses 5 through 9. He takes us back in the first couple of verses, 5 and 6, to the original chaos. Look at verse 5. Remember, all of this is talking about the mercy of God and the goodness and greatness of God. In verse 5, He says, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens. He goes back to His mercy again. But we're to give Him glory and know that the one that made the heavens is the merciful one. And there was original chaos to a degree. And God designed all of this. The stars He put in place and the sea He put in its place. God is the only one who could do that. And we know about the Genesis creation. And we know how God did it. And we know God did it through his power. And he held back those waters and brought the land out of it. And all of that, God is the one who does that. And yet, one time, he said, because of sin, I'm going to punish the sinners of the earth. And he let those waters come back, and they covered all over the earth. And then he made them subside, and he said, I want to show you my mercy. He put a rainbow in the clouds. Now, the perverts have tried to make that a bad symbol, but I'm telling you, that's a symbol of the greatness of Almighty God. And you can call it a scientific thing or whatever. You can say whatever you want to. God put it there. That's why we have a rainbow, and it's a reminder of God's mercy. And God said, I'll never destroy the earth by water again, not like that. I won't do it again. The next time it'll be the elements melting in the fervent heat. And then the original cosmos, verses 7 through 9. He said, to him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. He's reminding us of who God is, the original cosmos and their form. He talks about the sun and the moon here. I have no problem believing God made the sun and the moon, do you? No problem whatsoever. I don't think it had to evolve over 16 billion years to be in place. God can speak, and it's put there. The sun is an amazing body. It's an amazing body. Every time I study for a message and I study a little more about the sun, I'm amazed at what the sun is like. And to think that God made the sun. Scientists tell us that it's one giant reactor. That's really what it is. And listen to this. The surface radiates about 70,000 horsepower per square yard per second. Now, I know statistics are hard to grab a hold of, so let me go over that one again. The surface of the sun radiates about 70,000 horsepower per square yard per second. God made it. You think we don't have a wonderful God? And this is a God that, even though he did that, is a merciful God. In just a few seconds, the sun consumes 12 million tons of gas. In just a few seconds, about the time it took me to tell you that while ago, the sun uses up, at least consumes 12 million tons of gas. Now, if they took all of the storehouse of gas and fuels that we had and used them up in that same way, we would have enough for about 3 or 4 days. But not the sun. The sun has enough because of its surface and the mass of the sun and all of that, that in 1,000,000 years, it would hardly diminish it whatsoever. That's God. And God made that body. And as long as there is life on earth, I believe the sun will shine. And then he talks about the function of those bodies. God made them, but he had a purpose. And so what does he talk about? He talks about day and night, ruled by day, and the moon and stars are ruled by night. God did it. God set up this plan. And so we have what we call in chronometrics, in our time measurement, we have day and night. And we have seasons. We have days and we have years, and we measure them like that. And I'm glad that we do. And we have the moon. The moon determines the rise and the fall of the tides and all of that. It affects that. God wants it to do that. And as we study the stars, it tells us about the movement of the sun. So they all work together. And God said, I put the stars there. I put the moon there. I put the sun there. I am Almighty God that did all of this. Otherwise, we'd have cosmic chaos. I'm glad we have some idea what's going to happen in the seasons, aren't you? Now, in Texas, sometimes I wonder about it, but at any rate, we have the length of days, we have the seasons, and we plan accordingly. And we plan our days accordingly. And what would it be if God had not given us the sun by day and the moon by night and all of those heavenly bodies to rule all of this? We would be in a chaotic mess on planet Earth. But that's our God. How great is God? He is so great. And then the Lord controls all things, the psalmist says. In verses 10 all the way through verse 24, the psalmist is showing us here how the Lord delivered Israel. In verse 10, he talks about the Lord delivering Israel. And he mentions this first act of their deliverance. For in verse 10, he says, "To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn." He goes back a little bit to the history of Israel. And he's talking about God who did that. He smote Israel and all of their firstborn. "To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them." Now you say, well, that's not mercy. If God killed all the firstborn, how could that be a God that would follow that statement up and say that God's mercy endureth forever? Well, it's still a merciful act that God did. Number one, he didn't destroy all of them. He could have destroyed every one of them. And number two, he gave Pharaoh and all of those people 9 chances in his grace to get right with God. And they, like so many people, said, no, we don't want God. And so God says, I have no other alternative than to do a little surgery here. And so God is God showing his pity and his power. God could have killed him all, he didn't. But he shows him a further act of deliverance, even as God in his wrath remembered his mercy. Verses 11 through 14. In saving Israel, he's showing his mercy in his act of deliverance. He says in verse 11, "And he brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever." He said God went in there with his strong arm, with his stretched out arm, and he delivered them from the enemy and brought them out. He did exactly the same thing for you and me. With his strong arm on the cross of Calvary, he reached out his arm and he took care of our enemy, and he died in our place so we could have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God he's brought us out and saved our soul, and we are his children because of that. And then he separated them. That's a good principle for saved people who come out. Look at verses 13 and 14. He separated them. "To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever." That's God talking about what took place there. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they never went back to where they were. They were redeemed, brought out, and separated unto Almighty God to bring honor and glory to him. That's a life that was forever separated from the old way. That's the way it ought to be in my life and your life. Brought out, separated, dedicated unto the Lord. Forever separated from the old life. And then look at his final act of deliverance in verse 15. "But he overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea." Why? "For his mercy endureth forever." Again, that doesn't seem too merciful, but it was the mercy of Almighty God. This was his act of deliverance. It was mercy, maybe not so much to Pharaoh, but to all of mankind. Because Pharaoh was like a cancer. And God had to show who God was and show him that he was, in fact, in charge. And God allowed this to happen to show him that he was no match for God. And all who realize what happened realize there's one God and one true and living God. Whether they might want to admit it or not, they recognize that he was no match for the true and living God. Now look at how God began at that point to direct Israel. In verse 16, he wanted to direct them in their way. "To him which led his people through the wilderness, to him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever." And God put these things in there. They must be important to us. And what he is saying is God led them through the Sinai Peninsula. As he led them down through there, he led them across the wilderness, and as they were headed toward the promised land, they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of challenges. But you know what? God was teaching them. God was giving them experience. God was showing them, you've got to trust in me. You've got to believe in me. And I'm going to be with you through all of these things. And he gave them many wonderful things. He let them have the manna from heaven. It just dropped down and they had the manna and the quail. He let them have the water from the rock. Can you imagine? They struck the rock and water came out of the rock. He gave them that. They got to see God do all of those things and all of the different things that took place. He gave them victory over Amalek, the Amalekites, and showed that He was God. And He took their complaints, He took their murmuring, their belly aching, and His mercy endured through the whole thing. By the way, He does the same thing for you and me, because we do the same thing they do. We get to murmuring, complaining, questioning, wondering, and we fail God, and God's mercy never fails us. I'm so glad His mercy does not fail us. We get a little worldly and a little carnal sometimes, but God's mercy does not fail us. He puts up with us. He gives us space for repentance. And so the Lord directed Israel in their ways, and then in the wars that they were going to fight, verses 17 through 22. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings. This is very much like the previous chapter. His mercy endureth forever. He mentions them again. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, verse 20, king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. The Lord watched over them and directed them in their wars. You see, when you get saved, you're going to have some blessings, but you're going to have some battles. You can count on it. I was saying to someone after we were praying, well, I said, are you praying for me? He said, yes. And he said, it's people like you that need prayer. I thought, well, what does that mean? But he said, preachers, God's servants, have a target on their back. And you know who's shooting at that target? The devil himself. He'd rather destroy me than anybody in this church. And brother, you hear about it every once in a while, too often, more often than I want to hear about it. You hear about how Satan has destroyed a man of God and his ministry, his wife and his family and those things. What a sad thing that is. You're going to have battles. You're going to have blessings, but battles. And there are some very conspicuous triumphs that He shows His act of mercy. And these are in those verses. You see, He did this and God intervened with Sihon and Og and others. He intervened with Sennacherib and all of those others to show that His mercy endured. You say, well, again, how's that mercy? Well, if a surgeon cuts a cancer out of a patient and that patient is healed, isn't that merciful? And if God cuts a cancer out of society that is a drain on society, that is the mercy of Almighty God. God is doing that so that we can have moral health. And God will do that, and He has done that. He talks about their conquered territory, verses 21 and 22. He gave their land for a heritage. His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. He keeps repeating the course, the conquered territory. You see, God, because of His mercy, placed Israel there. In fact, you go back into creation, God put who He wanted where He wanted on the face of the earth. And then after the flood, I believe He did the very same thing. We had the Tower of Babel and all of those different things. But God put people where He wanted them to. But He said, there's one section of land, and I'll tell you who belongs there. It is the section of land that is between the Euphrates and the Nile River. And that section of land belongs to My people, the Jews. I have given it to them. I've given them a deed, a title deed to that. It is settled, and Israel is supposed to be able to settle there. It's their heritage. And because of the battle for that land, even now, the nations are in a turmoil because people will not comply with the very will of God. But God said, this belongs to Israel. And the nations will never be healed until Israel is in the land in peace someday. And that's going to happen. Now look how God defended them in verses 23 and 24. He says, who remembered us in our low estate. Verse 24, and hath redeemed us from our enemies. He's redeemed us from our enemies. Again, He's talking about God. He remembered them. What if God was forgetful? I'm discovering that the older my wife gets, the more forgetful I am. You thought I was going to be in trouble, didn't you? The older I get, the more forgetful I am. And I sort of live in the hereafter. I walk from one room to the other room, and I say, what am I hereafter? And then she reminds me what I'm hereafter. Aren't you glad God's not like that? And God doesn't age, and God does never forget. God is not forgetful. You see, we don't forget those we love, do we? And God said, Israel, I'm not going to forget you. And I can promise you, child of God, I don't care what trials you're going through, what you're facing in your life tonight, God loves you and He has not forgotten you. And He will never forget us. So He remembered them, then He rescued them. Verse 24, He hath redeemed us from our enemies. God rescued them. He took them from a low estate. That's exactly where He found us, in a low estate. And He rescued us. And rescue means, really, the root word is of rescued means redeemed or rescued. He redeemed them. He rescued them. And that's what He's done for us. And the root word means to break the bondage, to break the sin curse that we were under, the chains of sin that Satan had under us. God, thank God for His mercy that has redeemed us and broken that forever in our life. And then the Lord considers all things in His mercy, not just human beings. The animal rights people will like this verse, who giveth food to all flesh. Why? His mercy endureth forever. God does that. He considers all things. I believe He considers the wild beast. They have food. They probably had supper tonight. And the ecological balance that we have is set up by God. Now, I'm not one of those tree worshipers and all of that, and I'm not into animism and all of that, but I'm just saying God set it up. God takes care of them. And what He's saying, He hadn't forgotten anything. God is even merciful to the animals. In fact, God even knows, you know where I'm going with this, when a little sparrow dies. You know what the Bible says? That's a merciful, merciful God who even knows that. You know, in the old Mosaic law, they were forbidden to even rob birds' nests and destroy the birds, the little baby birds, or the eggs. That's Mosaic law. Now, don't worry. If you did that as a child, you're not going to go to the other place. You'll still go to heaven by grace. But I'm just saying, God illustrated, even in the Mosaic law, as they brought that forth, that He was a God of mercy, even to the animals. God is a great God. God is an omnipotent God. God is an omniscient God. God is omnipresent. But thank God, God is a merciful God. He is a God of mercy. And then verse 26, the conclusion of thanksgiving, which really isn't a conclusion at all. Because look at what he says. The psalmist directs our attention where? To heaven. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Give thanks unto the God of heaven. Why? For His mercy endureth forever. He's reaching on out, not only in Israel's future and what He was talking about in this context, but to our future in our home, and we will be with Him forever and ever in heaven, and never to be kicked out of heaven, never to cease to exist, to last forever and forever and ever without any end, and His mercy endureth forever. And heaven is forever and ever. Truly, God's mercy endureth forever. Aren't you glad we have a merciful God tonight? Let's stand, please. Maybe God's spoken to your heart about something tonight, and you want to come to the altar and pray. We've already had our prayer time, but you might be touched by God, and we leave the altar open in every service for you to come if you have a prayer need tonight. If for no other reason, sometimes it'd be good just to humble ourselves before others and say, God, I thank You that Your mercy endures forever. I thank You. I'm not ashamed to give You glory for it. Father, if there's someone here without Christ tonight, I pray that they would enter into the mercy of the Lord. No doubt most everybody here is saved, and maybe everybody. But if they're not, we thank You tonight that You're a loving God and You have provided eternal life through Christ because you're a merciful God. I thank you tonight. You saved my soul. And those that are here that are saved, your mercy endures forever. We love you, God. The amazing thing is that you love us. God, you're so merciful to us to save us, to guide us, to direct us, to train us when we go through trials, to deliver us into the land of promise, to meet all of our needs. And ultimately, praise your holy name, we'll be in heaven with you. And we'll know that your mercy endures forever. Now, God, we know you're merciful. Help us to tell the rest of the world that, so that they might enter into your mercy of salvation. In Christ's name, amen. If you have a prayer need, you come.